Thank you, Frank, for raising questions of how people in buildings, work buildings, are located, how they relate to each other, and again, begging the question of how far people use the city. I mean, this is an issue we've come up against several times today, and I'm sure we'll continue to today and tomorrow. Now, we've got six respondents, so 5 minutes each, oh respondents, and absolutely no more. Xiaoming Pu is the deputy director. He's not here. Right, Saskia Sassen. Saskia, I'm going to take these in the order they're printed and indeed here, which means Saskia Sassen, who is Professor of Political Economy at the London School of Economics and the University of Chicago, is our first respondent from your seat, it appears. You're now first. Sorry, you are always first, Saskia.
Can you hear me?
Yes, okay, we can.
Well, these were three extraordinary presentations, and I am very engaged by each of them, but I clearly cannot address all three, though I'm looking forward to lunches, dinners, to talk it all over. I think I will confine myself to the labor market question, which is the one that I was asked to address. I may not resist at the end, and then ask a couple of other questions as well. On the question of the labor market, first let me say that I am not speaking about Shanghai. I am using the knowledge that I have about other cities to raise nasty questions, the questions that are not easy to solve. So please, our Shanghai hosts and colleagues, do not feel criticized. It's just join the effort of puzzling out these problems. Second sort of framing issue, it seems to me that cities bring together in a very acute fashion some of the major contradictions that we see instantiated, materialize in the question of labor markets. Cities don't only do that, they also bring together trends that are not contradictory. But it seems to me that when you look at labor markets, you can pull out for examination and debate, and hence policy intervention, some of the really tough contradictory trends that we're seeing. So I want to emphasize three aspects, and I want to wind up with a very, I thought, compelling image that Dieter Lapler produced, the notion of a gene pool. Because I would say that we tend to think about our advanced urban economies as if there were only one gene, you know, the gene of high value-added professional workers, of fancy firms, et cetera, et cetera. And I think what Dieter was getting at is that it's actually a distribution of a whole variety of genes. And we lose if we let a lot of those genes that look like they don't matter somehow not be part of the gene pool of a city. Now, the three trends that I want to emphasize. First trend, many, not all, but many of our high growth sectors in our cities produce, and I exaggerate a bit, very high income jobs, lots of them, and a lot of low income jobs. When you have a situation where in a city, as opposed to the vastness, let's say, of a Yangtze region, right, but in the city, you have a high growth sector that produces a lot of high income jobs, you have a built-in potential for a problem. The problem expresses itself in the housing question, for instance. You have a built-in effective demand for a vastly expanded supply of high-priced housing. If that growth sector also produces a lot of low-wage jobs as part of its operations, then how are you going to house, so to speak, those low-income workers? Now, to illustrate, I want to use the case of Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley in the United States is a far more elementary economic system than a city such as Shanghai, a city such as New York, a city such as London. In that elementary quality, it then captures, it can illustrate some of these tensions. As you know, Silicon Valley is chock full of brilliant and very highly paid high-tech workers. Silicon Valley actually also needs low-wage workers in manufacturing. It also needs firemen, policemen, teachers, nurses. At one point, the situation in Silicon Valley was such the neglect of the lower income workers was
one
such.
Minute.
I have 1 minute left.
1 minute more, yes, that's I'm afraid it. Five right. In total, four gone.
But I have to make the point with clarity, so
you
I'll
will.
Just do one
You've
point.
You've got two more.
Right. So they had to recognize that they had no direct access to firemen who lived there or policemen, et cetera, et cetera. When you deal with lower income workers that are more diffuse in their utility, let's say, than firemen and policemen, you might miss it. But the same thing for Shanghai, only multiplied to a much more complex issue. Second trend, very quickly. A lot of activities in our advanced service economies are actually activities that don't look like they belong. And here I thought that Gita's comment about the informal economy, not as something that is a problem, but elements of the informal economy are actually part of the infrastructure of advanced economic sectors. Now, in that context, informalization is a part of advanced market economies rather than backward sectors. And secondly, it is a strategy whereby all kinds of economic activities can get incorporated, because it cheapens the costs of production, can get incorporated into the core economy of the city. So we need to recognize that the advanced sectors are also producing a kind of urban activity that doesn't fit the model and that needs to be accommodated. The
Thanks.
Third point,
out. In a sentence.
The gene pool. In other words, one way of thinking about it is there is a distribution of genes. There are multiple activities that are part, even if you just confine yourself to your growth sector. How you handle that without discriminating too much, without marginalizing too much, I think is part of the challenge.
Thank you very much.
Tony,
indeed.
You are tough.
I've